please. There's that phrase in there. I really like that phrase. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while I wait on thee. I really like that.
That's good, huh?
Yeah. Speak, Lord, in the stillness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. Us. Yeah. Reminds me of Elijah. Small, still voice. Need to listen. Be listening. There's a song I heard, and I've heard it several times lately, and I don't remember all the song, but part of it says, I'm no longer looking for the signs, I'm listening for the call. And I thought about that song. It's a good song, actually, but it talks about all the signs that we've had to see, but you know, it's time. It's time to be listening for the call. We really don't need any more signs. The signs are pretty clear and complete. And even today, God is already calling us, if we'll just listen. We're going to go to the 12th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 12th chapter. Proverbs chapter 12, starting in verse 1, it says, Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. This idea, this thought about love of instruction, love of knowledge, of course we find it throughout Proverbs, the idea of seeking after wisdom and knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord, and the word here, loveth, it really denotes something more than just interest. There's a lot of things that we find interesting, maybe. I find a lot of things interesting. But to have really a love for God's instruction and what he has to teach us, to be willing to listen as he instructs us from his word, there's a heart desire that is brought out here. And then it says, he that hateth reproof is brutish. The idea there is, again, is really, this is just a contrast, and this is the way the Proverbs goes so much, but the contrast between one who loves or has a great desire for that versus one who just has no interest at all. And of course, we see that an awful lot today, the lack of interest in God's word amongst people in general, but even amongst God's own people. And that word brutish there, it comes from a word that has to do with the food that you feed to cattle. And I tried to think about how that gets applied here, but it really kind of speaks of something really low and almost disgusting, if you will. That's kind of the way God sees that. Those that have no interest, no desire for God's word, that's kind of the way God sees them. It's a shame because God has so much to say to us, and he wants to speak to us, and yet so many of God's people have no interest at all in receiving instruction. I'm glad for everyone that's here tonight because it shows that you have an interest and a desire to hear the word of God. You know, there's a lot of things that we could be doing other than this, but there's nothing that we could be doing that's better than this. Verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Again, here's just a contrast between the believer and the unbeliever. The good man is, of course, one who is a believer. What is it that God favors? What is that the Lord finds in favor? Well, from the New Testament, we know this very clearly, that God finds favor in his Son. And so those that have Christ, those that are believers, the Lord favors. And certainly he does. You know, we tend to think about things, of course, in the natural. And the truth be told, God favors us in the natural so much. But we need to look beyond that as well to recognize that there is something much better, and it's waiting for us. And that is because of the favor of the Lord. But his favor isn't on us because we've done something, but rather because of Jesus Christ. A man of wicked devices, that's an unbeliever who's chosen to reject Christ. And yes, they will receive condemnation. Jesus was very clear when he walked here. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. The world was already in condemnation because they were rejecting God. The world is still under condemnation today when they reject Jesus Christ. Not because he came to condemn them, but because they have chosen to reject him, which leaves them in a state of condemnation. But we don't have to concern ourselves with that. We have received favor of God because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 3, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now, I know that sometimes we look around, and I hear people talk about this, but sometimes you look around and you think, you know, those people that are unbelievers, and they're so unethical and so, in some cases, just evil. And it looks like they do so good, you know. I was thinking the other day, looking around at some of these corporations, you know, I work for a fairly large corporation, and there's so much lack of ethics today in these corporations. And they seem to be doing so good. But here it says they will not be established. But it says the root of the righteous shall not be moved. See, we look at things sometimes a little too short-sighted, because there's coming a day when all those things are going to come tumbling down. And we actually see it happen. We just don't think about it. But we see companies that come and go. We see people that come and go. But, you know, we have something that is set and established. And that is because of the righteousness of Christ, we have been established. And that is forever. The root of the righteous shall not be moved. Verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Now this could be taken very simply in the natural. I don't think you have to explain it too hard in the natural. But I think also we got to remember that there's spiritual applications in these verses. And certainly we need to remember that Christ is going to have a bride, and she will be a virtuous woman. We're going to get to that chapter eventually in Proverbs in the 31st chapter, but he will have a bride, and she will be a virtuous woman. Those that choose to go in another path, we had at the two paths this morning. I thought about that, I guess. It's like rottenness, it says in his bones. It's there's no good in any of that. Man might look and try to find all the things they want and do the things the way they think it needs to be done, but God has his way, if you will, and he has his righteousness, and the only way that we'll be worth anything is by laying hold of his righteousness. This virtuous woman is one that is the one that will lay hold of his righteousness and allow him to build her into what he wants her to be. And Arlene has made that statement several times about the idea there in Genesis when God takes a rib from Adam and it says there he builded a woman. He made something. And today he's doing that in the church. We want to be a part of that company that will be that virtuous woman. It says she's a crown to her husband. That's such a precious thought that God is doing a work in us to make something of us, something beautiful, something wonderful. Verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And again, you just think about this in the natural. It's not too hard, again, to think about, but the unbeliever, their counsels, it says it's deceit. It's deceit because it doesn't take into account God's truth. And so anything other than that, anything outside of that is just deceit. It's not going to end up anywhere useful. The word really has the thought of fraud. So you can think about a fraudulent thing. And it's fraudulent because it doesn't line up with the truth of God's word. See, only the things that are according to the truth of God's word are of any value. The thoughts of the righteous are right. What does that mean? Well, we're not quite there yet in our Sunday school, but we're getting close to that thought about the mind of Christ. You know, as we grow in the word of God, he is working in us and changing us. So that even our very thoughts are different because we want them to line up with God's word. And they do as we allow him to work his word in our hearts. Certainly it changes the way we see and think about things. Verse 6, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. And again, just a contrast here between the unbeliever and the believer. And this thought about lying in wait for blood, it just speaks about the evilness. It could be applied in a number of different ways. But it just speaks about the evilness of man in not having any care or compassion for other men and for other people. But the mouth of the upright says shall deliver them. God's people, we've had this thought a lot, but I think it's good to be repeated over and over again. But that thought about the mouth, you know, what we say reflects so deeply on what we believe and what's in our heart. So the words that we speak should be words of comfort and deliverance. What do we have to offer to men except deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ? He has come to deliver. And so we have something wonderful to offer. But those are the things that should come from our mouth, things that are words of deliverance and comfort. Verse 7, the wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. And this is similar to the verse we had before about the temporal state of the unbeliever contrasted with the permanent state of the righteous, of the believer. Here the thought is about a house that's overthrown and no longer exists. Versus a house that stands. And in the sense here, this is really in the sense of like a, kind of a household name, if you will. You know, people are so, it's so important to perpetuate their you know, their lineage and their name and so on. And a lot of people today are really, really into the genealogy thing a lot. But you know what? The only thing that matters is our spiritual genealogy. The only thing that really matters at the end of the day. You might come from the most prestigious family in the world, but without Christ, it doesn't mean anything. Nothing will stand before God. And you know, all of those people who have made themselves a great name in this world but have rejected Christ, at the end, they won't even be known. Nothing matters in this world except the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. Verse 8, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. And again, very kind of a simple thought here about a contrast between the wise and the unwise, which in this case refers to a perverse heart. In the natural speaking, people prefer to be around someone who has good things and wise things to say versus someone that, you know, they're just hatred that comes from their heart. People prefer to be around that. But certainly, spiritually speaking, the only thing that matters to God, again, is His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, where does our wisdom come from? Well, we've had that thought a lot as we go through Proverbs. And, of course, we know that Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom as well as righteousness and other things, but wisdom. And so our wisdom is in Him. He that is a perverse heart shall be despised. Those that reject Christ and are the ungodly, they will not stand before God in the end. Verse 9, there's kind of a different translation of this. I'm going to read the King James, and I'm going to read a different translation of at least the first part of it anyway. I think it makes it a little bit simpler to understand. But in the King James, it says, "He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread." Another translation says, the first part of it goes this way, "Better a man with dishonor serving himself." And another translation says, "He that is despised and is his own servant is better than he that boasteth himself and wanteth bread." And so the thought here really is, again, trying to make a contrast. Being despised by the world because you are your own servant. In other words, you don't have too much. You don't have servants and are not wealthy. It's still better than honoring yourself. That is, and the word honoring there, it really has that thought about boasting in oneself and exalting oneself. Another translation speaks to it this way, putting value on himself. I think that's an interesting thought there about honoring oneself, putting value. So we've had similar thoughts before, but it's better that the world despise us because we're not rich in the ways of this world than to be of those that basically honor themselves. In other words, this speaks to those that don't know God. They honor themselves. They don't have any need for God, and yet they don't realize their lack. Certainly, it's always better, no matter where we're at in regards to the things of the world, it's always better to be with God. There's so many times we've known so many people that are very, very poor in this world. Poverty that's we're not really used to in this country so much, but there's a deep poverty in some places, and those people, they know Jesus, and it doesn't matter that they're poor. They're happy, not because they're doing well according to the world, but because they know Jesus, and that's all that matters. It's a marvelous thing. Verse 10, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And again, here is just a contrast between two. And I think, you know, some people might use this verse to say, well, you know, this tells us we have to be nice to the animals. Well, we should be nice. You know, there's no reason to be cruel to the animals. But really, this is trying to get the contrast to be far apart, in the sense that one who is even nice to his beast versus one who is just cruel, and in a general overall sense. And so it's trying to get that contrast to be as far away as possible. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. In other words, the righteous man has mercy and care versus the wicked. And it says, so here it says the tender mercies of the wicked. And again, the idea there is to try to push that contrast as far away as possible. So for the wicked, for the unbeliever, even tender mercies, it says, are cruel. In other words, what they would consider to be a tender mercy, it's still... So he's really just pushing the contrast as far apart as possible in this. God's people should be merciful and gracious. We have good reason to be merciful and gracious because God has been merciful and gracious to us, has extended to us mercy beyond any kind of mercy we might be able to extend. And so we have reason to show mercy to others. Verse 11, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. And again, here's a little bit of a contrast between a person who is diligent. So the thought of tilling the land has to do with diligence, working diligently, versus those that just run around following vain persons. And for me, I always think about this as those people that are all, you know, there's always these people that are trying to get you to do something that's going to make you rich, you know, overnight, and those kinds of things. And we all know, you know, we kind of know those things are useless. But there's kind of that thought about going after, wasting time on vain persons. That's again, the word vain always refers to like an emptiness. And it says he's void of understanding. In the natural, just speaking in the natural, God has designed us to be able to work in some way. And that's good because those that try to do the other way, they find out that it doesn't lead anywhere. But in the spiritual, I think this speaks about a diligence, and I think that's what's really important. Spiritually speaking, there are many who are trying to lead God's people astray into some sort of scheme or another, spiritually speaking. But, you know, God just wants diligence from us. And I think about that diligence in terms of God's Word, spending time in God's Word, studying and learning, knowing God's Word, diligence in prayer, and so on. There's no magic thing here, by the way, for you to suddenly be some great spiritual person. We heard it this morning at the beginning of before Sunday school, and we've heard it many times, but you know, God is working in our lives, but it's precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. There's no magic thing. It requires a little bit of diligence on our part. We got to get our Bibles out and open them up and spend some time in that and spend some time in prayer and so on. And, you know, we all had to get up and leave our houses and come here tonight. That diligence is important because, first of all, it shows that we have a desire. And secondly, again, God is working in our lives, but he does it through the Holy Spirit using the Word. So if we're not taking in the Word, I always think about that. This is maybe a little bit of a side thing, but I had this thought about that. You know, if we're not taking in the Word, but we're expecting the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that's sort of like expecting a bricklayer to make a brick wall, but not giving him any mortar. Right? It's not going to work. I'm not going to get a brick wall. Somehow expecting the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in our lives, but not taking in God's Word, we're fooling ourselves. The Holy Spirit takes the Word that we take in, and he works through that in our lives. And so we need to take in the Word, and we need to pray. Prayer is an important part of that, because we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us. Ask the Holy Spirit to work these things in our lives. About now. Verse 12, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Now, I think the thought here about the net has to do with the fruit part, by the way. One of the ways in which fruit was collected in some places was to put a net down, and you get the fruit on the net, and then you can gather it up. And so the thought here is about going after the fruit of evil men, if you will. But the root of the righteous, it yieldeth fruit. In other words, our fruit doesn't come from someone else, from some other person. It comes from the life of Christ that's in us, the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to lay hold and take somebody else's fruit to ourselves. Our fruit, it is from the life that is in us. And so the root of the righteous, see, all the way down to the root, and Jesus reminded us that we needed to abide in him if we wanted to yield fruit. Because he is the root, by the way. He's the root. He's also the branch, but he's the root. And the important nutrients that come to produce fruit, they come from the root into the plant. And the plant yields fruit. And so if we're not abiding in him, he's the vine, then we're not going to bear fruit. Verse 13, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. And again, here's the thought about the lips. We're going to see that. We've seen it a lot. We're going to see it a lot in Proverbs. Thought about the lips. Again, it's so important. The things that come out of our lips, that come out of our mouth, is so important. It makes such a big difference. How easy it is to tell one who is truly a Christian, not just because they don't use foul language, but because the things that come out of their mouth are things that build up. The wicked, it said, is snared by the transgression of his lips. His lips are transgressing, but the just shall come out of trouble, because we have one that brings us out of trouble, and we know who to call upon. Verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. I think this one kind of goes in two directions here, but a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Again, we're coming to this thought of the mouth and what comes out of the mouth. And it's, again, it's so important. We had a thought this morning about comfort and consolation and so on. The things that we speak to other people have a big impact on them. And it can have an impact in two different ways, obviously, for the good or for the bad. But certainly we want to have the fruit of our mouth be something that is satisfying, something that brings comfort and joy, not just to ourselves, but also to others. It says, the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. And I think this one can be thought of in two ways, because it is true that whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. It is true that there are consequences to our actions both ways. In other words, and we've seen this already in Proverbs, but the man who works evil with his hands, he's going to reap that. That's going to be his recompense. Those that work righteousness, that's going to be their recompense. So I think both of those are in here. Whatever it is that we choose to do. And of course, the thought of hands is the thought of the things that we do, that our work, if you will, the things that we do. There will be a recompense, and I think we can see this both ways, and we have seen it in different places in both ways. God is not fooled, as Paul tells us there. God is not fooled. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. This thought was really good along with the Vacation Bible School theme that we had. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, a person who, and I hear this so much, where someone will say, well, I think it's this way and it should be this way, and you know, that's the way it is, and so we're okay with that. And if I just do this, and I'm going to be okay, and you know, I had one man say, well, I'm just going to tell God that here's the things I did. You know, he's seeing his way, and it looks okay to himself, right? The way he sees it, that's okay. But it says, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And what does that mean to us? Well, again, the word of God. So no matter how much we think that something should be a certain way, or that the way we were going to do that is okay, if it's not according to the word of God, it's not right. Listening to counsel, listening to God, listening to God's word, and this goes about all sorts of things in our lives. Is that according to God's word? That's the path we want to be on. If we just listen to our own selves, well, our old nature will try to convince us that we already, you know, we already know, and you know, we're smart enough to figure this out. Well, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Because God's counsel is the only way that we're going to know the truth. Verse 16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. I think the thought here is about speaking out quickly about things. People like to just talk about other people and things that they know. It says a prudent man covereth shame. It's not our business to go around gossiping about other people and spreading things. The foolish, they do that, but God's people shouldn't be that way. The way we want to deal with those things is to go to the Lord in prayer. He has a way of dealing with those things. It's not our way. It's not our business to do what he's supposed to be doing. But we certainly can go to him in prayer for those things. But see, the fool says is presently known. In other words, you just can't wait to get it out. Verse 17, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. In other words, fraud. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Really, this is just tying those two things together as they should be. That is, truth and righteousness, they go together. That which is not true is not righteous, and that which is not righteous is not truth. And if we speak the truth of God's word, we'll be showing forth righteousness, his righteousness. But see, a false witness just brings fraud. The way of the world, and I as I said earlier, I'm just sometimes just amazed at the deceit and the lack of ethics that there is at some levels of business. But that's the way of the world. Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now, piercing of the sword, you can think about, that's kind of simple. I think that that's a bad thing. to be pierced through with the sword, that's a bad thing. Generally leading to death. And so the contrast here is between, again, one who speaks in a cruel way, if you will, to others, basically bringing them down and so on, But it says the tongue of the wise is health. See, that's the opposite, right, of piercing with a sword, which is very unhealthy. And the tongue of the wise, it says, is health. In other words, it builds up. It encourages and brings forth health. You know, when we speak to others, in particular, of course, as we speak from the Word of God, there's spiritual health in that. There's encouragement and lifting up, and that's the way we want to be. Yikes, I'm running out of time here. I think I'm going to go ahead and just stop tonight. And there's quite a few more verses to get through. So I stopped where at 19, right? Nope, I stopped at 18. Yeah, okay. I'm going to mark it before I forget. Otherwise, I'll forget, and who knows what I'll do next week. Okay. So I kind of wanted to think about this, the first part of this chapter especially, all of these contrasts about the righteous and the wicked, the foolish and the wise, and so on. Those that seek after God. It started us out with whoso loveth instruction, and I thought that was very appropriate to start this, because those that have a desire for God's word, that's a marvelous thing. You know, the world thirsts after knowledge, continually looking and searching for things. And yes, they're finding all sorts of knowledge in the natural. But how much better than that to know what God says, to hear God's instruction, to have the knowledge of our Lord and what He wants to teach us. It's so much better than anything the world can obtain or offer us. And so we do well. I really did enjoy that thought of the Lord speaking to us in that quietness. The din, the noise of the world is all around us, and it overwhelms us sometimes. If you listen to the news or watch the news or all those kinds of things, that just the things that are there, they're so overwhelming at times. The enemy is trying to keep us from developing that time of just listening to the Lord. And you know, it can be any time and anywhere. You know, if you think about Elijah, he was in that cave and things hadn't gone so well for him at that point, you know, and there he is all by himself and so sorry for himself, and yet God comes and he speaks in that still small voice. And you know, sometimes we think, well, we have to be at church or something like that, but God speaks to us in many ways, in any place that we are. But we do have to allow him to kind of shut out that noise of the world so that he can speak to us. We need to have a desire. See, that's the beginning part, is have a desire to hear what he has to say, and he will speak to us. Are there any questions or comments this evening?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's just going to eat at you, like you said. Mm-hmm. And I said you kind of have to sometimes just tell yourself to ignore it, but it's kind of hard to ignore when it's just right in front of you. But sometimes you have to just ignore it and just go on with your life and just let the Lord be the big part of your life. But it's just, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes we need the Lord to just stop us and say, stop. Just take a minute. We certainly need that. Yes. It's so good to be in the presence of the Lord.